At this time, would you please help me welcome our television audience and especially all of our campuses and everyone over at the Annex. God bless you guys. Glad that you're with us today. We're in a series called Animal Planet. Everybody say Animal Planet. In fact, if you look at your little packets there that were in your seats, I think that we have some sermon notes today. And so how many of you are like the fill-in-the-blank kind of people? You kind of like some of that. A few of you out there, some of you, you could care less. So just, you know, just don't crumble them up and throw them back at me. But I want to give you some good information. We're going to be talking, continuing our series on marriage and family. And what we're doing is we're just kind of looking at God's creation. You know, the Bible's real clear that God speaks to us through his creation. And there are several animals in the Bible that God talks about. And it's like he talks about, you know, consider the ant, consider the lizard, consider the badger. And he talks about different animals and shows us that we can learn some wisdom from these animals, these creatures that God's created. And I was looking this week on animal communication, how animals communicate to one another. And I kind of found some interesting stuff. Listen to this. Bees. The bees dance. That's how they communicate. I mean, they boogie down. So what's God telling us? That if we want to be effective communicators, we need to learn how to throw down and boogie. No, I'm kidding. What? That's what my message is about. No, I'm kidding. Watch. Bees, listen to this. They dance when they found nectar, and the scout bee will dance in the hive, and the way that he dances directs the other bees to the specific location of the nectar so they can have food. That's kind of cool. So he's got like different grooves. So look at that. Some of you deer hunters. Do I have some deer hunters in the audience? All right, I see a few. Okay, a girl deer hunter. All right, come on, bring it on. That's what I'm talking about. All right. White-tailed deer, they communicate with one another. They show alarm by flicking up their tails. Giraffes press their necks together when they are attracted to each other. I mean, that's kind of obvious. Their whole body's a big neck. I'm sure they do. Everything is with their neck. Tell me something I don't know. All right, gorillas. Gorillas stick out their tongues to show anger. Some of you know, that's where you're a gorilla. All right. Horses rub noses as a sign of affection. I like this. Prairie dogs, they come up, they get right next to each other, and they bare their teeth, growl, and press their mouths together, only then to discover if they are friends or foes. I mean, it's too late after that, wouldn't you say? I mean, whales breach. How many of you know what a breach is? Good for you. Breach, of course I knew this, that means that like they leap out of the water. So whales, they leap out of the water repeatedly to send messages to other whales. So just looking at some animal communication facts, you know, if you look at these facts here, the interesting thing is animals, their lives depend on effective communication. If you were listening there, which is a key to communication we're going to talk about in a second, but if you're listening there, really like for an animal, his survival, his food, if an enemy's near, all those different types of things depend on how they communicate with one another. Their very survival depends on it. And in the same way as people, even though we may not realize it, our very survival, or more importantly, our ability to have a blessed marriage and our ability to really prosper in our families and in our careers and in our homes, our abilities to really be effective depends on if we can successfully communicate with one another. Communication is huge. And we can see that in God. How many of you know that God is the great communicator? He's the great communicator. Look, thank goodness, because God effectively communicated to mankind, now we can receive Jesus Christ and we can receive eternal life through him. Can I have a good amen? So in other words, our salvation as a people dependent on God being able to effectively communicate his word and the gospel. And so God is the great communicator. God's word to us is all about communication to us. Jesus Christ, he was what? The Word made flesh. He was a living example of the communication of God. God spoke the worlds into existence. Our very being and the framework of the universe was created through the communication of God. And so we are made in the image of God. And we too, like God, should value communication. And we should make it our goal to be a real effective communicator in our lives, in our homes, in our marriages, in our families. Communication is huge. So what I want to do today is I want to heat up the value of effective communication. And what I want to do is hopefully you will see how important it is, how critical it is in your life, how critical it is in your marriage. There are so many challenges that people have in their relationships because they aren't able to effectively communicate and they aren't able to understand how their spouse is communicating because there is a gender gap in communication. Remember, one gender could not contain the glory of God. That's why God made men and women. So because one gender could not contain the glory of God. And so our differences were not meant to complicate one another. Our differences were meant to complement one another. But let me tell you what happens in our lives. I'd like for my examples, my experimentation. Y'all give Willie and Lisa a big, big hand. Give Willie and Lisa a hand. Let me tell you what happens. Talking about the gap. Now, Willie and Lisa, y'all, you guys come in the front here. I gave them no instruction about this illustration, so just come on over here. And Lisa, you stand right here, and Willie, you stand right there. Now, let me tell you. This is our example of a happy couple, okay? They're great leaders in our church, and they are a happy couple, and they got great kids. And so we're hiring the entire family. They're awesome. But anyway, here's what happens in our relationships, okay? What happens? You start out and you're dating and then you get married. And so you guys remember back to that time and it was just Willie and it was Lisa and it was just those two. And so look how close they are and they're so happy and they have all this energy and it's easy to talk. And sure, why not? It's just them two. Nothing's really going on. They're starting out young in life, not some responsibility, not a ton of responsibility, but there starts to be a little bit of responsibility. You know, at first it's the honeymoon and it's all them, but then things kind of, you know, settle down a little bit. And so, you know, Willie has a few hobbies. He might, you know, play, don't use that. He might play softball, you know, and so kind of you need to make a little room for that. And so, okay, let go of that now. And so we're going to kind of put that here. And Lisa, you know, she does a little bit, but she likes to go shopping a little bit. So Lisa, you need to make a little room for that. So just put that right there. Y'all need to, now they're still close, but there is a little bit of a gap. They got a little bit of hobbies going on, okay? But then they get further down in life, and lo and behold, they have kids. Okay, so now, I don't know, y'all have any mama or grandmama white, you know, well, okay, so here you go, yeah. You know, here at Celebrate Church, we're big believers in diversity. I didn't know who my examples were going to be. Last night, we did have an interracial couple with Tark and Lisa, though, so it worked out. But, so now they have kids, so, you know, hey, it's, now you need to make a little, you know, you got your kids, you got hobbies, and so, you know, now it starts to get a little bit more difficult. The gap starts to be bigger. In other words, they've added things to their life, and once they were like this, nothing wrong with adding these things at all. This is how life is. But all of a sudden, there starts to be a little gap. And then, of course, you know, they keep moving on down. And you know, Willie gets a promotion. And Lisa gets a promotion. And so, you know, work's kind of splitting them out a little bit more. And all of a sudden, not really, you know, kind of slowly, not really, all of a sudden, a drift, a gap has come between them, not intentionally. It's just what life brought, work and life brought. I mean, Willie already looks tired. Life brought, I mean, with other, this is what life does. And if we're not careful, what'll happen is we'll slowly just kind of slip, slide away from one another. And here's the first thing that happens. The first thing that happens, and this is in your notes, life comes, it's unintentional, but there becomes a distance comes between us. A distance, a gap. And then the second thing, if we're not careful, if we don't learn how to navigate communication, and see, it was much easier to communicate when they were right here, but now they've got to work at it. Now they've got to give a little bit more energy to it. Now there's a lot of other things getting their time and their energy and their communication, so now they've got to work at it a little bit harder. And if they don't work at it, what's going to happen is, if they're not careful, a wall will come up. And you know, and Willie's kind of got his career and things going on over here, and Lisa's over there doing her thing, and you know, Willie's getting more busy, and Lisa's getting more, and watch this, now all of a sudden there's a wall. And now here's when you hear couples say, you know, I just don't feel like we're connected anymore. I don't feel like I really know you anymore. See, at one time it was easy, and now it's kind of like, you know, there's this life and there's this life. And once again, if you're not careful, it can escalate to even further danger, and that is hostility. And that's where you begin to look at one another, and there's a wall here where he's not doing this and she's not doing this. You know, when I said that I would because I thought that you could, and now that you can't, and before you know it, we could find ourselves in a crisis. But I've got good news. Jesus Christ is all about tearing down the walls and filling the gaps. And no matter where you are in your marriage right now, maybe there's a distance, maybe it's gotten worse, there's even a wall, maybe there's even been some hostility developed, I want to tell you that Jesus Christ can come in and tear the wall down and bring peace and reconciliation if you will bring him back into your marriage and family and make a commitment to communicate effectively even when there is some gap in your life. And we all have gap. Gap is just the stuff. Gap is work. Gap is kids. Gap is health issues. Gap is just all the stuff that life brings us. But you can learn to communicate effectively even over the gap if you let Jesus be your bridge. Let there be a bridge here of Jesus Christ and not a wall of hostility. Can I have a good amen? Let's give him a big, big hand. And Willie, that's good. Thanks so much. Look at this scripture here. So we're going to talk about effective communication. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. See, Jesus is a gap filler. Now, I know the scripture here in Ephesians, it's talking about Jews and Gentiles, and it's talking about through the blood of Christ, that now there's just one man in Christ and one person, one people group reconciled to God. But there's also a principle here, is that when you bring Jesus into any situation, he can tear down the walls. He can remove the hostility. Let him tear down the wall and use Jesus as the bridge, and he will bring peace and reconciliation in your home. And then you bring Jesus in there, and then you learn, okay, we're going to have a fresh start, and we're going to learn how to communicate effectively with one another. So here is the second marriage essential that I want to teach you today. And that essential is effective communication. Notice I said effective. Effective communication. You know, Carrie helped me prepare this message. My wife is a great communicator. So I said, look, I need you to help me prepare this message. And she said, well, what are you talking about? And I said, effective communication. And she looked at me, she said, that's hilarious. I mean, she just laughed. She's like, yeah, you need a lot of help preparing this message. because I, like most men, do have trouble expressing my feelings, do have trouble sometimes listening, or I listen even though I might not appear to be listening. Oh, I've learned some things in 12 years of marriage. I'm going to help you out today, guys. Just give me a few minutes here. But watch, effective communication. Why? James chapter 3, verse 8, it says, no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. Why do we need to communicate effectively? And this obviously talking about verbal communication. There's verbal and nonverbal. Because if left to our own devices, this is what's going to happen. If our tongue, our mouth, our words, if they're not in check, if we are not strategic about how we communicate, in other words, James chapter 3, verse 8, that is a picture of someone's communication or words left in default mode. How many of you know God is very specific about how he communicates? Everything that you say is either tearing something down or building something up. Our words are powerful. Words of life can bring healing. Power of life and death is in the tongue. Communication is huge. God says, let no unwholesome word proceed out of your mouth except that which is unto the edifying of another. Communication. I want to raise that value of how we speak and how we communicate in our lives. And if we are not strategic about it, and if we are not pressing into God and getting our hearts full of God and his word and the Holy Spirit, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If we are strategic in our communication, we will be effective. If we will learn how our spouse communicates, that's the way God's created her. If you'll learn how your husband communicates, that's the way God's created him. Ladies, stop trying to make your husband into a she-man. Stop trying to make your husband into the male version of your best friend. All right now. Look, I'm saying, yes, watch. Your husband does need to be your best friend, but he's a man best friend. He's not like a man girlfriend. You know, he's always going to be less sensitive. He's always going to be less communicative. He's always going to be less emotional. And he's in fact, stop taking his insensitivity so seriously. I'm telling you, I'm gonna get into stuff. And don't worry, ladies, I got some stuff I'm gonna tell the guys. But we get into these expectation deals. Many times, like we talk about these expectations, and too many ladies, it's like, man, I want my husband to be the spiritual leader of the home. Well, what does that look like to you? Is that the spiritual leader, like how you would want the home to be led? I mean, do you think like he's going to come in every night, be right home on the dot at 6 o'clock, break out the King James Bible and do a 20-minute devotional? It's not happening. Do you think that, you know, before y'all go into the bedroom to be intimate, you can't. Trying to be good, not get emails, be intimate. Before you go into the bedroom to be intimate, you think that he's going to grab your hand, you're going to kneel by down on the side of the bed and like pray? Oh, Lord, let this experience. It's not happening, man. It's not happening. Just because he appears to be, watch this, just because he appears to be insensitive. Now watch, to you he's insensitive. But for a man, he might be very sensitive. He will always be less sensitive, probably, than you want him to be. Why? Because he is a man. You can't change him from being a man. Many times what appears to be insensitive, it's they are being sensitive. They're not going to be sensitive like you want them to be. They are engaging your emotions. They're just not going to be emotional like you want them to be. They are going to talk eventually. But they're never going to talk as much as you. I mean, the statistics, a man. Am I speaking the truth? Man. A man speaks about 10,000 words a day on average, and a woman speaks like, it's like 25,000 words a day on average. That's why when men get home, man, we are out of words. There is no, we are done. Just come and sit by us. Just sit by us and just, man, I love you. That's why if you ever get around men, there's not a lot of talking going on, is there? It's really not. It's all sitting around. They're watching football. They're just sitting around. They're not talking. Maybe making noises. Maybe some emissions going on. But there's no talking going on. See, look, Ecclesiastes chapter 3. It says there's a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. Ladies, a time to be silent. And men, a time to speak. Are you following me? Guys, and that's how we need to look at it. Many times talking, it is an activity. We need to give it energy. So watch, just give me, let me give you three things here that'll help us understand this kind of this gender gap and how we communicate. Men are hunters. This is in your notes. Men are hunters. Women are hinters. Okay, in other words, a man, this is just the male gender. I know I'm being broad here and I'm, you know, all that. But in general, a man, he's just more goal. He's just more bottom line. I mean, when I go shop, I can get all of my Christmas shopping done in under half an hour. It's not about the experience. I'm not into taking in the season, you know, or anything like that, man. I got five people to buy for. I'm going to pick out the store and get them all that. And I'm in and I'm out. I'm done. I killed. I mounted it. It's over. I put a whooping on that store. But women, watch. Women are more, they hint. In other words, when a man says, say a man's asking someone, what are you doing today? A man actually means, what are you doing today? But when a woman asks, what are you doing? It took me years to learn this about Carrie. When Carrie asked me, what are you doing today? I used to say, well, I'm going to work. Well, I'm... Bye. But what I've learned is, when she asks me, what am I doing today? You see, that's a code. It doesn't mean like what it means is, will you do something for me today? That's what it means. I need you to do something for me today. It's a hint. So guys, we have to decipher the code. Now watch this. Now watch. Some men will say this. Some men will say, well, man, why don't they just, can't they just say, I need you to do this and I need you to do that? And obviously, sometimes ladies do. But watch, there's a scripture in Proverbs. Remember, God created us male and female. Can I have a good amen? Okay, the way that we communicate, there's a reason why women speak twice as many words as men. There's a reason why we communicate differently. There's a reason why men are goal bottom line and women are hinting and more emotional and want to dig deeper into a subject, so to speak. And that is this, there's a scripture in Proverbs. It says, it is the glory, watch this women, this will make you feel good. It is the glory of God to conceal a matter. But here's the male, the next line is, and it's the glory of kings to search it out. It's a beautiful scripture, I believe, describing gender. And that's this, is that women, they conceal things because the way that God has created them, listen, men, they want to see if we will take the time and the trouble to seek them out, to seek how they feel, to seek what they're talking about, to try to understand them and to identify with their feelings. This is one of the powerful tools that God has created that will actually bring us closer together. And so a woman is a mystery. A woman, God's created the female gender. She wants to be sought out, and that shows up in the way we communicate with one another. So that's why a man's always like, what's wrong? What's bothering you? What's happening? And she's like, nothing, nothing. That's where it starts. So as men, what do? We decipher the code. There really is something bothering her. I'm not going to get it out in a quick two-word answer that would be my style. I'm going to need to sit down. I'm going to need to talk. It's time to talk. More talking and more talking. And watch. And your wife is worth every second and every minute of it. And we invest that energy into talking and listening. The next thing here, it kind of goes with that. Men are solvers, women are sensors. God made us this way. In other words, like I was talking about, there's a problem. What do we want to do? We want to fix it. What is wrong? Why are you crying? What can I do? What can I fix? Is it something I said? I take it back. Is it something I didn't say? I'll say it right now. Just tell me what to say. We want to fix it. What's bothering you? Can I write you a check? Can I say something? Can I do something? How can we just fix this up? Well, you know, we want to patch it up and let's go. Let's move on. We want to fix it. But women, it's not about fixing it. It's about you feeling it. They're sensors. They want you to seek out what's bothering them. And then we have to make the effort, guys, as tough as this is, to identify with them emotionally. They want to take you into their emotions and in a small way, help you feel how they feel. How many of you guys have finally figured this one out? We're all like, okay, what's wrong? So we sit down, we talk about it, and then at the end of the whole deal, guess what? There's not even anything to fix. Dude, that was huge for me when I've realized that. There's nothing here to fix. It's just about sitting down with Carrie. It's about sitting down. And it's about listening. It's about letting her talk. It's about identifying with what's going on and being there as a comfort, being there to nurture, being there to support, being there to understand. Guys, this is so, so important. And I'll be honest, it's taken me 12 years and I keep getting better every year. But I realize when you sense that in your wife, that she needs you and she needs a hug. Many times she doesn't need the problem fixed, she needs a hug. She doesn't need your solution that I'm sure is a very good solution. She needs you to listen, she needs to talk, and she just needs to for you to come feel what she's feeling. That is the solution. That's how it's fixed. That's how it's better. And then the last thing here, men are tight-lipped. We know that. And women are talkers. So we just have to understand this and we have to be comfortable with this. That, you know, ladies, your husband, he's not going to be good at opening up. You can help him with that, but it's probably going to take some time. And I will say this, that when your husband does open up, please don't go share his stuff. Don't go share his business with other girls, because guys don't like that. You know what I'm saying? If he shares something with you about something or whatever, and then you go off, you know, and he finds out that you told some people or you told some friends. I mean, don't even do it. Well, I pray for my husband. You know, he's out doing this, and, you know, pray for my husband this. You got to be careful with all that. Because men prize loyalty and they prize honor and they prize respect. And so once again, that's a great way to build trust that we're going to get to here. Okay, so here we go. Here's what I want to give you, and then we'll kind of walk you through this for a few minutes and then we'll close here. Here we go. Proverbs 15:4, the tongue that brings healing is a tree of life. So we're going to talk about some steps that you can take, some ways that you can put this into practice, understanding there is a gender gap, understanding that men and women are different, that those differences, many times we allow those differences to complicate things instead of complement one another and complement things. You need the both. This is why God says when a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall be as one flesh. Do you see how the differences in men and women, they can work together as strengths? The differences in the way that we communicate are going to bring us closer together. Remember, once you get married, you no longer have an individual destiny. Your destiny is on you as a couple. You are a team. Your family is a team. And effective communication and how we speak to one another and encourage one another is huge. So look here. Number one, guard your heart. For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. Psalm 141, verse 3 and 4, set a guard over my mouth, O Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Let not my heart be drawn to what is evil. To take part in wicked deeds with men who are evildoers, let me not eat of their delicacies. So here's what I want to say about this in guarding your heart. Release from expectations. Release your spouse from unrealistic expectations, because as long, remember I talked about this a couple of weeks ago, we go to God. Your spouse was only meant to add to your happiness, not be the source of it. Your spouse was only meant, God is the source of your security. God is the source of your fulfillment. God is the source of your satisfaction, not your spouse. Your spouse only adds to that. And too many times we've set expectations on our husband and wife. And what we're really doing is we're trying to get them to fulfill a need in our lives that they were never meant to fulfill, only to add to it. And if we have unrealistic or unhealthy expectations on our spouse, what's going to happen is we're going to have disappointment in our heart. We're going to have confusion. We're going to have anger. We're going to have regret in our heart. And that's going to come out in the way we speak. And it's going to lead to inappropriate communication. And it's going to lead to hurtful words. Be careful. Guard your heart from negativity. Number two, build trust. Everybody say build trust. Forgive and be honest. Matthew 5:37, simply let your yes be yes and your no be no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. Forgive and be honest. That's how you can start building trust right now. No matter what you've done, no matter how things have been, you can start building trust right now in your marriage relationship if you will forgive. Remember, we don't forgive people because they deserve it. We forgive people because of Christ. We forgive them because Jesus forgave us. You forgive and you're honest. Remember, in honesty, not everything true needs to be said, but everything said must be true. Okay, there's some things that are just between you and God, but there are some things that you need to come clean with your spouse about. And so the way to start building trust right now is you forgive one another, it's a new day, and you start being honest with one another about how you feel, about what's going on in your life. Can I have a good amen? Build trust. You have to build trust. Trust is earned. Number three, be quick to listen. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Pastor John last week preached about anger. Did you notice? There's a key here. Listening, good listening, is an antidote to anger. Good listening is an antidote to anger. Proverbs 10:19, when words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise. Here's what I like to say about listening. Give energy to listening. Here's what I've learned to do. Too many of us, we think that talking is active, listening is passive. Listening is not passive. Listening takes much more energy than speaking. You will find if you will give energy to listening, God will use that, help you become teachable, help you to understand things that you haven't been understanding. You know, I've noticed recently, Kaylin, my oldest daughter, she's 10 years old now. I've noticed recently like that she wants to be around daddy a lot, and which is just awesome, which is cool. So all of a sudden, she's just kind of wanting to be around me more, asking me stuff and, you know, just all kind of cool stuff. So I asked Carrie about it. I said, man, this is awesome. You know, Kaylin is really, she's in the audience today. Kaylin is, she's really wanting to be around me a lot now, man. It's really cool. You know, she's wanting to do more stuff with me and all that kind of stuff. And Carrie said, well, you know, that's because girls at the ages between 10 and 13, girls start to bond with their father, and that's what's happening is they're formulating all their perceptions on what a man is supposed to be like and what their future husband is supposed to be like and how he's supposed to treat them. Dude, I was like, pressure! I mean, Carrie just kind of says that and walks off. I'm like, you realize how powerful that is? So what I'm doing specifically, here's a parenting tip for you. What I'm doing specifically, right now when Kaylin talks, I'm giving energy to listen. I'm giving more energy to listening to her because it's a key stage in her life where she's looking at dad and she's formulating her perceptions of men and what should be in a man. Come on, dads. That's heavy stuff. And look, you dads need to be here on Father's Day. Y'all know that Father, how sad is, did you know that Father's Day is one of the worst church weekend attendances of the year? You know why? I mean, women come on Mother's Day and it's flowers and woo, we love you. Men think they're going to come to church on Father's Day and just get beat up. You ain't doing this and you need to change that. And you need, it's not going to be like that. Okay, it's going to be very encouraging. I'm going to have some lazy boy here, so we're going to give out some prizes. And if you're chosen, you'll be able to attend service in a big lazy boy. That's right. It's going to be a man's service. Attend church in a big lazy boy. We're going to try to get you a private monitor. Staff, write this down. Get you a monitor where you can just watch the service, just eat. Just lazy boy. This is how men communicate. You have no idea how much I've communicated in just lazy boy. Okay. The final thing here, and let's close. Speak words of life. Speak words of life. What I want to say about this is be specific. When you encourage, when you show approval, don't just be generic. That doesn't work. You need to be specific. Speak to specific issues, specific needs. Express specific love. Give your spouse the approval. We all need that. Now, God is the source of our approval. But your spouse is meant to add to that. And what we want to do is we want to give our spouses, our kids, we want to give them so much approval that they will never go looking for that in someone else. Or in something else. Effective communication. Put Jesus, let him be a bridge in the gap you have. Let's pray.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Our prayer is that it will help you to live a God-first life. For more information about Celebration Church and other available resources, please visit our website at www.celebration.org.